My next guest, Kashmir Hill, specializes in first-person journalism, which has led to some unusual experiments. She has lived exclusively on Bitcoin. She has spent a week communicating only in caps lock, an entire week of being emphatic. This time, her experiment was to transform her apartment into a smart home and then track all the data she was sharing to see whether her smart home would betray her. And now she's co-written a book about it called The House That Spied on Me. Kashmir Hill, welcome to KUOW.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It was just an article, though, not a whole book.
Not a whole book. Okay, an article. Thank you. What did you do to make a smart home?
So I basically bought a bunch of internet-connected devices for my house. We already had a smart TV and an Amazon Echo, the smart speaker, but I got an internet-connected toothbrush, a photo frame, lights, a coffee maker, connected my bed to the internet. If you can think of it, I connected it.
Yes, and there are a lot of appliances that can be web-enabled. Will you remind us what that's about? What do you mean by connecting stuff to the internet?
So when something's connected to the internet, it means that you can operate it from afar. It means oftentimes that you can operate it by talking to it. So, you know, I can say, Alexa, turn on the lights, or Alexa, brew me coffee.
There are lights and coffee firing up right now across the region.
Yeah, actually, I know. I just muted the dot that's right next to me.
Right.
But sometimes it gathers data. So my bed, for example, would give me sleep reports in the morning, telling me, you know, how many times I tossed and turned, and what my heart rate was through the night, and what my breathing rate was through the night, which is, I discovered, is really annoying when you've had a terrible night's sleep for your smart bed to, you know, send a notification to your phone the next day telling you you missed your sleep goal and got a failing score. I'm like, I know, I feel terrible today.
Yeah, I can feel how much I missed my sleep goal. That's why it matters. Yeah.
Thank you for the reminder.
Yes. Why, Kashmir?
Well, you know, the reason that I was doing it, I thought, it might be kind of nice to live in a home of the future. But I was also curious, as more and more people are getting these devices into their homes, what it means for our privacy.
Yeah. And what did you find out that it means for your privacy when you do that?
Yeah. So my colleague built a special router for me that I connected all my devices to. And the router was monitoring their activity. And so it kept track of the data that they were sending out, kept track of every company that they talked to outside of the home. And so we did this for 2 months and we just wanted to see what would happen. And It was pretty surprising. I mean, my home, the digital emissions from my home were going out all the time. Even when we were away for a week, the home was still active. There wasn't an hour of silence in the whole 2 months.
What do you mean your home's not being silent? What's being transmitted?
Well, all my devices were talking, almost all of them were talking to the companies that made them almost every day. Some of them talked really frequently to the companies. So, for example, my Amazon Echo was contacting Amazon servers every 3 minutes, you know, whether we were using it or not, which was really surprising to me because I know that the Echo, you know, it's always listening, it's always ready, but it's not supposed to react to you unless you say the wake word Alexa. And so I assumed that it wasn't connecting to the internet, you know, unless I said Alexa. But in fact, it's checking all the time.
It might be pinging, Kashmir, but I mean,
it's pinging.
But what does that mean? What kind of information is it sending about you?
So it's pinging. It's saying like, hey, I'm still here. Do you have any software updates for me? And in some cases, it could be, you know, sending information back. We weren't decrypting any of the traffic that was being sent. So in a lot of cases, we couldn't tell what data was being sent. There was an exception to that with the television because I had a smart TV. And every time I watched Hulu, we discovered the Hulu traffic wasn't being encrypted. So my television was actually sending back what Hulu shows I was watching to Vizio. It was also sending it to a couple of data brokers called Nielsen and Scorecard Research, which like to kind of like keep track of what people watch. So we couldn't always tell what was being sent back, But all of the devices were in.
Who knows what you were watching on TV? So this Vizio, so a corporation and data brokers, meaning what do you think that matters to you? Someone is selling information to target you better with ads, or someone is finding out how lowbrow you are, Kashmir, or what?
Well, I don't think that I'm lowbrow.
Okay, or highbrow.
I don't know what my TV thinks. Uh-huh. I mean, it definitely was going to data brokers who use that information to profile people's watching activity. My smart TV is made by a company named Vizio. So they knew, you know, every time the television was turned on, even if I wasn't using the internet. So, you know, we stayed in on New Year's Eve and watched a DVD, and my colleague was able to tell that from the data because it was being sent back that the TV was on that night.
Kashmir Hill did not get invited to a party.
Oh, Kashmir Hill has a baby.
I understand.
She has a 1-year-old, and so she and her husband stayed in on New Year's Eve. But yeah, you know, we're revealed not to be big partiers. Uh-huh. And you know, and that is data about me and about our lifestyle. That I think if we've learned anything about the last 20 years of internet activity, there are these big data brokers that are constantly gathering data that's available to them and trying to, you know, crunch it and get insights into our behaviors to affect, you know, how they try to target us with ads, but also, as we've seen in this last year, use it for political purposes, you know, try to convince us to vote certain ways. And when you have more and more data, you have a more accurate profile of somebody. And what I think we learned from our experiment is that the tracking that we've all gotten used to whenever we go online may move into our living rooms as we start adopting this technology.
You mentioned your baby. What information were you sharing about your innocent, unwitting child?
Well, my poor daughter was subject to probably the most surveillance in the household because we had an internet-connected baby monitor in her room. So, you know, video was being collected. It also measured the air quality of the room. She had a couple of internet-connected toys, a Hello Barbie and an app called Toy Mill. But the most revealing information about her was probably coming from the Amazon Echo, because it was revealing when she wakes up and goes to bed. Because you could see in the data basically when the Echo was used in the morning. One of the first things we do is usually request music for her. And then at nighttime, we play Alexa's ambient sounds app. And so you could see when she was going to bed by when we requested those sounds to play.
Corporations know when your baby is sleeping. It sounds ominous.
I mean, it all sounds innocuous, right? Like, I can tell you're skeptical that this data is valuable, but even data you don't think is going to matter. Okay, so I had a smart toothbrush, and So a smart toothbrush connects to the internet. It, you know, sends you reminders to brush. It tells you how to brush. There's an app you can run while you're brushing. And we joked in our piece that, you know, one day a dental insurance company, you know, might have you use a smart toothbrush and then give you discounts on your premium. Mm. And we thought that sounded hilarious. In fact, it already exists and has been around since 2015.
I absolutely believe that. Sure.
It's a company called Beam. My smart vacuum, the Roomba, from a company called iRobot. You might think, okay, what, you know, how is a robot vacuum going to have valuable data? But in fact, iRobot CEO talked about how the vacuums map the home and how those maps could be really valuable to other companies in the smart home space, and that they hope to, you know, get a deal with Apple, Amazon, or Google in the next few years to share that map of the home with them so that they know, you know, what furniture is in the house and how it's arranged, and that could be useful to know the acoustics of the room for their smart speakers.
That I was wondering where you were going with that. So the Roomba, we have one of those, and I know it pings around the room. It's got to know where the walls are and where the doorways are, kind of. I mean, I can imagine it making a map, but who wants that map? It has to do with somebody caring about the acoustics in my house. I mean, it just seems like this is a floor level, quote unquote, map of what it's bumping into. But why is that a big deal?
Well, when you have Roombas and hundreds of thousands of homes that are bumping into the same furniture every single day, your Roomba, and you have to have the newest series actually to get a map. It's the 900 series, so you may or may not have that version of the vacuum.
I don't think I do. I don't know whether I should want that.
Yeah, I mean, it knows how, you know, it knows if you have a couch, how big your couch is. It knows whether or not
Wait a minute. Does it know how tall my couch is? Like, is it sending signals upward? I just assumed the Roomba was only staring at my floorboards and out to the side because it was not up in the
air. I don't know about your Roomba. Your Roomba might not be as good as my Roomba, but my Roomba slows down when it is approaching an object. It slows down when it's approaching a person. I mean, you may have no idea what sensors are on your Roomba.
True.
And it's collecting data about you. And if it's internet connected, it's maybe sending it back to the company. And it's something you don't even think about, which I think was the important thing about this story, is just thinking about the sensors that you're bringing into your home with these objects that have never had the ability to spy on you before.
Kashmir, I've told, by the again, Kashmir Hill has written a piece about her experiment called The House That Spied on Me. I have mentioned in a little promo I did telling people what was coming up on the show. I mentioned I ticked off some of the appliances that you hooked up, and I'm going to let you judge how much you want to tell us about the fact that there's such thing as an internet-connected sex toy. But it's part of my larger question, which is about how your husband felt about your experiment.
So I did not use the internet-connected sex toy for its intended purpose, maybe in part because I knew my colleague was going to be looking at all the data that was being sent out by my devices.
Right.
And we actually didn't see that. You know, I did use it to see what data it sent, and we didn't see it doing anything problematic. Though I did report on a sex toy in 2016 made by a Canadian company called WeVibe that was sending all the data about its use back to the company, including when it was turned on, how long it was on for, the temperature of the device, and what settings were being used. And it was sending it all back every time it got used. Mm-hmm. And I asked the company about it, and they said, well, it's really valuable for market research. So
yeah, I would think.
The problem was the customers didn't realize that their orgasms were being data mined. Uh-huh. So they did sue the company, and there was a class action settlement last year for, I believe, more than $2 million. But yeah, my husband in general wasn't a big fan of the experiment, and it wasn't so much about the privacy issues. It was that, well, he didn't like a camera being pointed at him, and he did unplug it when I went out of town, but he just was annoyed by the smart home. Like, it just didn't work that well.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Now you have a home that's, something's going to be buggy about it, right?
Yes, there are definitely bugs in the home. The most annoying one was the coffee maker didn't get along as well with Alexa as we would have liked. So every morning we woke up and we would say, Alexa, make us coffee. And she would say, I don't understand. And there was a specific prompt we had to do, like Alexa, ask the Beemore to make us coffee or to run quick start. And so every morning, two caffeine deprived people begged Alexa to make coffee, and she would only kind of do it a third of the time. And my husband would say, oh, can I please just walk to the kitchen and, you know, turn on the coffee maker? And I'd be like, no, we have to do it the smart way. And so he was not very happy with me for the 2 months that we were running this experiment.
Well, that's a very 2018 reason to not have a smart home. It's just not worked out well enough yet. But overall,
the technology is still early stage.
Yes, but accounting for that, Kashmir, the takeaway here is there's the convenience or inconvenience of a smart home, and there are the privacy data sharing issues. And overall, what was your takeaway about your trying it out?
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway is that the smart home's not quite there yet. Like, a lot of the products don't work that well, but there are things I love. Like, I love the Roomba. I actually really like the coffee maker. I just don't like using Alexa to turn her on. I'd rather use the app. I think most of us are living in smart homes already. I mean, you can't buy a television that doesn't connect to the internet. Mm-hmm. One in six people, according to an NPR survey, has a smart speaker now. So my big takeaway was that everybody needs the router that my colleague built for me. They need a way to monitor the data that's going out of their home in the same way that, you know, most of us use some kind of extension on our web browsers now so we can see who's tracking us and block certain requests. Or with your smartphone, you can, there's permissions for apps so you can determine what information they get access to. Like, I kind of feel like we need that for our home routers now so that we can decide what our devices are sending out about us.
Right. I wonder whether corporations would ever make that deal with us. I'll show you my information if you show me yours.
Yeah. that's a good way to put it.
We'll watch on that. Kashmir Hill is the co-author of a Gizmodo piece called The House That Spied on Me. And I'm glad to hear that you ended up having a good experience with your coffee maker anyway. There's that. And the Roomba's working out for you. And thanks for warning us about the downsides, Kashmir Hill. Thanks a lot.
Sure.